that your car is not your friend. We're all car addicts, let's just say no. Then those cars will have to go.
Help support KBOO Community Radio by donating your used car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or any other vehicle. We'll transform that old machine into resources for unserved and underserved communities, free training, recording equipment, and great programming for the Portland metro area, Cascadia, and the world. For more information, call 1-877-526-6123. That's 877-KBOO-123. Or go to kboo.fm/vehicle.
Yo, you ever look up at the sky at night, man, think to yourself, I really wish someone would flip.
Thanks for listening to KBOO Community Radio. I'm Sari Gametha. John Oliver is an Emmy Award-winning writer and a comedian who rose to fame as a correspondent on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Joining the ranks of other satirical comedians, he just completed his first season producing and hosting his own show on HBO, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. You can catch his stand-up performance at the Keller Auditorium on Saturday, November 22nd at 8 p.m. and again at 10:30 p.m. He joined me by phone from New York, and we started our conversation looking at the challenge in finding comedy in very dark stories in the news.
That's a tricky question. I mean, I guess, theoretically, no. Because I think you can, as long as you can make something funny, as long as your heart is in the right place, you can joke about anything. It's just at times, you know, it's either the scale of the challenge is daunting, or you struggle to find an angle on something and it needs more time. But, you know, in the largest possible sense, then no, I don't think sometimes the darkest subjects can throw up the best opportunities for comedy. So yes, sometimes you have to go deep into the darkness to find anything approaching the light.
Do you have any examples?
It's weird because it's a sausage factory, this kind of show, so you tend not to remember anything other than the most recent shows you did. I mean, we did a show relatively recently about the visa applications for Afghan and Iraqi translators who worked with U.S. troops, and it's immensely bleak. It's a Kafkaesque process to apply for these visas, and the consequences of not getting one are frequently deadly. So, yeah, there are horrifying stories around it, but it becomes so ludicrous. The process is so ludicrous that as you journey further into how crazy the whole system is, there are a myriad of comic opportunities that you can play with. But it's harder. You know, your responsibility level is harder because you are dealing with some utterly awful circumstances. So the premium is on you to treat those examples with, you know, respect and honesty. And then as long as you can feel confident in where you are coming from with your joke, then you can do anything you like on top of that.
I'm glad you brought up that story. Actually, that ties into one of my questions, or not even a question, just a comment. I work as an interpreter when I'm not, you know, being a journalist.
Oh, that's
great. I'm not going to pretend what I do is anything close to finding IEDs for troops, but so as an interpreter, I guess I just wanted to say thank you for bringing awareness to the issue and the profession, and also shining a light on the hypocrisy of our immigration and visa system.
Yeah, it's awful. It's just, I mean, I was a little closer to that story than is ideal because my wife was a combat medic with the U.S. Army, and her translator has been stuck in Iraq. And so I've seen some of the horrifying elements of the process and some of the even more horrifying consequences of the inaction. So, yeah, I'm a little closer attached to that story than is potentially healthy. I was very happy to be able to do it, even though it was even more difficult because, I'm a little more emotionally involved in it than I would ordinarily be.
Right. I didn't realize that you had a personal connection to this story.
Yeah.
That does make it much more difficult. I was also just curious if you happen to have any updated news on Sarosh, the Afghan interpreter at the beginning of the story who was awaiting his visa.
Sarosh, no. There is looking like there's some developments, potentially. I've got to be very, very careful with how I phrase this, but there's some potential developments with Mohammed, but Sarosh, I'm not sure.
Okay, I was just curious. Well, in any case, back to your show, what's really interesting is we're told that audiences really can't handle segments of anything that are beyond 2 minutes, whether it's the news or comedy. I mean, we have these two-minute attention spans. But the investigative stories of comedy that you produce range from 10 to 16 minutes. Can you speak to the success?
Well, I don't think it's ever been true that people have had that short attention span. I think it's profoundly patronizing when that is implied.
I agree with you.
No, I don't. Yeah, I think I think that is a completely flawed premise. But you know, I do agree that what we were taking on in the when you consider what the popular perception of people's attention span is, seems to be objectively insane. But we never really thought about it. I mean, that's one of the luxuries of HBO, is that we didn't really need to be too concerned about timing issues. We could kind of have as long as we wanted for a story. And so we just kind of naturally let the story be as long as we felt it needed to be. And sometimes, like you say, that can be 17 minutes, which is a long time, but it's also not a long time if what you're talking about is the private prison complex in America. You know, 17 minutes actually isn't that long to spend on it. But, yeah, it's not. I think it is when there's an implication that people only have minute attention spans now, I think that is slightly infantilizing of people. I think they've always been able to watch more. It's just whether they think it's worth it or not. I think perhaps people bail out if they're bored quicker than they used to.
Yeah, I think that there's truth to that. And I think we're taught or we're told to keep things short for that purpose. But I think that I agree with you. I think if people are focused and are interested, they will keep up with the story. And yes, I agree that talking about the private prison complex for 17 minutes isn't really a tall order.
No, exactly. It doesn't seem an insanely long amount of time to sum up the dangers of incarceration in the United States. But I guess we could have done it shorter.
One other element I wanted to talk about was that at the end of these segments, it feels like there's a call to action or some kind of solution in place, which is unique about it. Can you talk about some of the motivation behind that?
Again, it's usually only in the context of a joke. You know, we did that with net neutrality because there was kind of an inherent, comic juxtaposition in the fact that some of the most active people online were going to be hurt the most by the net neutrality situation. And so we were really just trying to direct that spewing bile in a useful direction. But really that was to service the joke. That was our main concern, that we thought it would be funny. And then what happened afterwards was slightly bigger than we were expecting regarding the FCC's website flaws.
It was fantastic to see that you and your program had broken the internet more than Kim Kardashian's butt, to be honest.
Well, that is high praise. That is high praise. That is, and listen, that is a crown that I wear with pride. if nothing else, I am a verbal Kim Kardashian's buttocks.
My last question is, you immigrated here. Was it about 10 years ago, or was that
coming up on it? Yeah,
coming up on 10 years anniversary.
Oh, yeah, nearly 10 years.
Well, congratulations to you, first of all. In your reports, and either as a correspondent on The Daily Show or on Last Week Tonight, you often refer to this country, either in the second or third person, that is to say, as we and us, and sometimes the U.S., yeah. etc. And I was wondering, what do you consider home, and how do you identify yourself?
Well, I consider this home. I consider America my home. Yeah, so I've been here nearly a decade, and you know, I would like to stay no matter what happens. I love it here. So I see this as my home. I guess I don't really see myself as American. I don't really belong anywhere. I guess, you know, I'm probably less British than I was. And I've got no business saying that I'm British because I've barely been there in the last decade. And I certainly feel more comfortable and at home here. So I guess I'm kind of no fixed abode emotionally. But I certainly see America as my home. And, you know, increasingly I have a lump in my throat whenever I'm at a sporting event and I hear the national anthem played. That's pretty American, isn't it?
I would say so. and I can understand the neither here nor there feeling to some extent.
Yeah, I guess I don't. I suppose I don't really fit in, but I'm not really supposed to. And I found it much easier knowing that I'm not really supposed to fit in where I am. That kind of makes you feel more at home instantly because it takes all that pressure off.
That's true. John Oliver, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me and for supporting KBOO Community Radio.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was comedian and Emmy Award-winning writer John Oliver joining me by phone from New York. He is the host of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver on HBO. He'll be performing stand-up live here in Portland on Saturday at the Keller Auditorium at 8 p.m. and again at 10:30 p.m. I'm Sari Gametta. Thanks for listening.
Secluded in the upper left, dominantly gray, shaded skies every other day, sort of like the bay, just a little bit wetter and cold in the winter. Proximity to water make the soul a little gentler. Out of towners don't be knowing about the best kept. Ain't nothing better than the summer in the northwest. Microphone check 1206. Through the spoke, through the smoke, can I get a quick fix to lift this eye to the level of the needle in the sky, overlooking the sound against the shores of the suicide capital. Bust the magical dust, grammatically just a satellite. What makes Seattle tight? The fruits have been ripe in spite of all the bull, and last second changes the plans. I caught a bull's van. Prodigal sons whose motto is run whenever possible. Watch Mr. Officer shoot before he aims. Claim self-defense in the name of the citizenry. SPD spread a city like an STD. I'm rolling Rainier bumping. Let's get free. Why do people sleep? I'ma speak till they wake. Now let me push my pen to create peace, rhymes and life. Each time I write, fire ignites. I light the sky. There's an infinite.
Tune in Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m. to hear Rose City Native Radio with your host, Jackie Malmstrom. Rose City Native Radio is a new public affairs program bringing you local and national Native issues and Native contemporary music. You can find more information about the show online at kboo.fm or find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio.
Join KBOO at the Clinton Street Theater for our monthly movie screening night. This month, KBOO proudly presents Alice's Restaurant, the film based on a song based on Arlo Guthrie's 1965 Thanksgiving Day. Alice's Restaurant will screen Wednesday, November 26th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information about the film at KBOO at the Clinton series can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under the community events.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
Shocks of Sheba has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Hopworks Urban Brewery, committed to creating world-class food and organic beer as sustainably as possible at their carbon-neutral eco-brew pubs. Hopworks is located at Southeast 29th and Powell Boulevard, and Hopworks Bike Bar is at North Williams and Shaver. Available on draft and in bottles throughout Cascadia. Information at 503-232-HOPS or hopworksbeer.com. And by The Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW. Stay tuned for the KBOO News at Noon.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Thursday, November 20th, 2014. Yesterday, Facebook's bus drivers voted in favor of joining a union. The drivers, employees of Loop Transportation, which has a contract with Facebook, decided to join a local Teamsters chapter by a vote of 43-28. Facebook uses private buses to transport its employees from their homes to its headquarters in Menlo Park, California. Apple and Google use buses as well. Opponents have said that these buses play a key role in the gentrification of the Bay Area. The drivers for Facebook have a number of grievances that they hope the union will address. These include split shifts that make for long days and insufficient wages for housing prices in the area. Portland city officials have released estimates of which businesses would pay the most under its new street fund plan. The city itself tops the list, followed by grocery outlet Kroger, OHSU, Safeway, and Starbucks. The street fund is a tax on individuals and businesses that the city says would double its budget for street repairs. The tax on individuals is based on income. The wealthiest Portlanders would pay $900 a year, while individuals earning less than $35,000 a year would pay nothing. The tax on businesses is based on square footage, number of employees, and revenue. There are some inconsistencies between this list of estimates and the first one published in May. Portland Public Schools and the Port of Portland would both pay much less than initially estimated. There is a public hearing on the street fee today at City Council Chambers. Signups begin at 1 p.m. On Monday, 40,000 protesters marched to the U.S. Embassy in Athens.